Sahanavavatu, Sahanobhunaktu, Sahavirayankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaritamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so 132. For human happiness, one must care for the animals, especially the cows. Vasudeva therefore inquired whether there was a good arrangement for the animals where Nandamars lived. For the proper pursuit of human happiness, there must be arrangements for the protection of cows. This means that there must be forests and adequate pasturing grounds full of grass and water. If the animals are happy, there will be an ample supply of milk, from which human beings will benefit by deriving many milk products with which to live happily. As enjoined in Bhagavad Gita 18:44, Krishi go rakshabani jam, vaisha karma swabhava jam. Without giving proper facilities to the animals, how can human society be happy? That people are raising cattle to send to the slaughterhouse is a great sin. By this demoniac enterprise, people are ruining their chance for a truly human life. Because they are not giving any importance to the instructions of Krishna, the advancement of their so-called civilization resembles the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum. Because people don't understand what's actually good for them, what's actually a benefit. Therefore, what they do can't be a benefit. Right? It's with knowledge and education that you know what to do and what's proper. So here is that so-called civilization then means they just... Civilization simply means what they all together agree on. That's what makes it their civilization. But it's not that the civilization is actually based on the human standards. Right? So then here then that very important part is that the animals have to be taken care of nicely also. And of that, especially the cows. So that means plenty of land, right? So the point is there's here, you have a city, it builds up, but there has to be the land. So it can only build up as much as there is land to take care of the animals and that are required for the, and farming that is required for those who are in that city or village, right? So any village, any town, like you see, if you drive along the highway, the original villages, you know, in the village, you'll see these open areas of just farmland. Something's growing there, rice or something like that. Generally rice, right? And in the distance, you'll see just a bunch of trees. Where the trees are, that's the village. Right? And then everything else is the farmland. So that's the natural thing. So that's why you see one village is here, then there's farmland, then there's another village, and then there's like... The difficulty comes up is that if you expand the village or the town or the city and use the farmland, see, it's one thing is if you expand the city and you extend the farmland. If you can do that, but if you can't, then technically that's all the bigger the city can get. You know, that's all. That's what's there. You can't go beyond that. So then that has to be consideration. But because it's close to the city, all that farmland then becomes property for real estate. You know? And so then guys that had a farm that's way out in the middle of nowhere, the city keeps growing and now they got prime land. You know, like that. But where's the farming? Where does it go on? That's the difficulty. So it has to be seen as that all that goes together. So that has to be seen when you're planning something. You have to count that in. But generally people don't. Does that make sense? Because before, you don't sell land in small, dinky plots. Right? You sell it big enough that there's land for growing things, taking care of animals, and this and that. you know, like in areas that are designated as rural, I think you can't sell for less than a certain amount of, you know, acres or hectares. And on that, you can only have one house, you know, like that. And only if there's some expansion, your family's bigger, you can apply, then you can put some extensions or this or that, but you can't have two families on there. Right? You can't subdivide it. Does that make sense? So there's some concept of how it needs to be, you know, the areas necessary for farming. But of those who have that kind of land, how many farm? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it just means it's not considered as that they go together. So we have to understand that these things go together. The tendency is we think we just have our place, because being city dwellers, then we're used to just finding some hole in the wall someplace, and then you paint it how you like and put a few pictures up how you like, and voila, right? It's done. Yeah. But the actual point is no, there has to be the bigger thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So what we don't have control over, what can you do? But if there's a place where you can't, then that's where you try to do something. Yeah, truly human. Yeah, truly human life. Yeah, because otherwise a human form of life, you can do whatever you like on your way to this specific animal that lives like that. You know, so it's like, you want to, how you say, you have, like, I remember driving in Hong Kong, out into towards the new airport, because they reclaimed land and put the airport out there because there's no space inside. And we're going by and there's these 50, 60 story buildings, you know, in groups of them. There'll be two or three or four of these right next to each other in the group, and then some distance in another one. And I was asking, what are these? And they said, well, these are the new apartment buildings. But at the bottom, you see that there's also, there's two or three stories of, you know, the more boxy kind of buildings. So what's that? That's all the shops. And so in that one set of buildings, 10,000 people will live. And down on the bottom are all the shops that they need for their daily stuff. You know, the regular stuff. I mean, the special stuff, you go out in the rest of Hong Kong and buy that. But everything's there. And I said, you know, where'd these come from? And they said they knocked down the ones that were 20, 30 story. You can't build something 20, 30 story. It's not allowed. It has to be 50 or 60. So if you want to expand, you knock down the 30-story building you have and build the 50, 60-story building. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But they also have an advantage because they are, how you say, lactose intolerant, so they don't drink milk, so they don't have to keep cows like that. Rice and soybeans, that's another thing. Good for you. Yeah, that's unless you're looking at it from the guy next door. Yeah, I mean, one apartment, 20 people are living in there along with everybody, so whether that's the great view. But yeah, some of them are pretty good views. So the idea is that's there, but it's not considering the actual human need. You know, so if that's all you have, of course, you live like that. But the point is one should have the understanding and the value that there is something more beyond this. Right? The human society. So you start with the Krishna consciousness, you start with the dealings with the Vaishnavas and the devotees, then the culture is there, all these things then expand out, then you can do all these things. Then it works very nice. That. But the root has to be truly human, means it's based on Krishna consciousness, then the Vedic culture, so then everything's taken care of. Otherwise, yeah, it will be crazy, because one day it's like this, another day it's like that. Vasudev continued, "My son Baladev, being raised by you and your wife, Jashoda Devi, considers you his father and mother. Is he living very peacefully in your home with his real mother, Rohini? When one's friends and relatives are properly situated, one's religion, economic development, and sense gratification, as described in the Vedic literatures, are beneficial. Otherwise, if one's friends and relatives are in distress, these three cannot offer any happiness." Right? You can't be those who are important to you, if they're not living well and you're living well, how can you get any happiness? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. To express that fact that his household life is failure, Vasudeva speaks this verse. For a jiva, pumsa, the three vargas, dharma, artha, and kama, are prescribed by scripture for the purpose of satisfying wife and children, suhridaha. In my case, by being separated from wife and child and causing them suffering, not raising my son, the three vargas are useless. Thus, my household life has been a failure. Right? Because technically, up to this point, he hasn't been able to live household life and develop everything very nicely because of Kamsa. Right? And so it's not until 11 years after, when Kamsa is killed, that they'll be able to live properly. Mm-hmm. And even that will be a trouble until they all go to Dwarka. Then it will be, you know, nicely situated. Something, something? Mm-hmm. Nanda Maharaj said, "Alas, King Kamsa killed so many of your children, born of Devaki, and your one daughter, the youngest child of all, entered the heavenly planets." Srila Prabhupada comments, "When Vasudeva understood from Nanda Maharaj that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his having been exchanged with Jashoda's daughter was yet undisclosed, he was happy that things were going on nicely. By saying that Vasudeva's daughter, his youngest child, had gone to the heavenly planets, Nanda Maharaj indicated that he did not know that this daughter was born of Jashoda and that Vasudeva had exchanged her with Krishna. Thus the doubts of Vasudeva were dispelled." So, okay, Krishna there, but did he understand the daughter? Right? You know, that my daughter went over. No. So he just thinks as you had a daughter, I had a son. So now he understands that both sides is complete. Mm-hmm. So the secret is being kept, so therefore then the fear of Kamsa finding out then is not going to happen, because he's not talking. Right? And as far as Kamsa is concerned, who has been born elsewhere, and so then he's not worried about it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole. So in this way, then it's done. So he's happy from that aspect. Nanda Maharaj continued, "Every man is certainly controlled by destiny, which determines the results of one's fruit of activities. In other words, one has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this is due to unseen destiny. Destiny is the ultimate controller of everyone. One who knows this is never bewildered." Right? In other words, the situations we're in, those are all controlled by destiny. Mm-hmm. We can take part as an instrument, but how it'll transform will be dependent upon the previous actions that are done. Therefore, what we can take part in. Does that make sense? We can't change something that's already been changed. Does that make sense? Means we think this should go in this particular way, but if we've already changed something by our action in the past, it won't go that way. Does that make sense? It will go on according to that. So the situations we're in, those then destiny and time, they take care of that. Now what we do with what we have, that's within our control. But the point is what are the results are not. So what we can do is, with our particular knowledge, with our understanding, we can apply our knowledge into action, into endeavor. But the results that will come, because you're dealing with the action that I perform now, but then what about the actions I performed in the past? What effect do they have on the present thing? Because the situation I'm in is from the past. And so there's also the influence of how I'll be able to deal with that situation that's coming from the past. Therefore, that's why the devotee only sees themselves as an instrument, and they simply try to please Krishna. Because if what you're doing is to please Krishna, then it doesn't really matter so much what situations you're working with or what results come from the endeavor in that situation. You, according to your nature and ability, apply yourself to the best you can to get a nice result for Krishna. But what is the situation you're in? What is the influences from the past? And how Krishna will give that result, that we can't say. Does that make sense? So it kind of shoots holes in our concept that we're going to be the controller and enjoyer here. But what to do? That's the philosophy.
because we can teach Krishna in any situation.
Yeah, that's the point. Any situation can do. It's not that only certain situations can do that. No, any situation, please. It's just that we're doing our duty to please Krishna according to what's recommended. So we always start off with the best. And then from there, then we take it and do what's the most practical. But the idea that we are going to actually make it happen, no, we can take part. And then if it happens, it shouldn't be that it happens, yeah, of course, you know. It should be that by Krishna's grace it worked out. You see Vasudeva, Nanda Baba, they're all talking like that. By Krishna's grace, then all these things are happening. You know, we have this facility, things are going on nicely. You see Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, in that discussion after Krishna had left, when Arjuna came back from Dwarka, then he was saying, by Krishna's grace, then we had all these nice facilities and everything. Right? So that's the thing, we think that no, the results I have are because of my endeavor. No, there's a technique of endeavor. So having a proper plan, seeing the proper situation and what's the proper thing to do, applying that, following up on that, you know, keeping up the proper effort that's appropriate, that's just how we can be the instrument. That the result came, that's by the grace of Krishna. But we think, no, because I applied it properly, that's why I got the result. No. You're doing that to please Krishna. Krishna being pleased, that's why you get the result. Now, you follow the proper rules, what should give the result. But Krishna says, you do this to get this result. You follow that, Krishna being pleased, he'll give you a result. But it's because Krishna gave it, not because you get it on your own power. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. You take part. According to what pleases Krishna, you get the result. You take half part, you get a half result. You don't take part according to what Krishna says, you don't get any result. You know? And if people are doing stupid stuff and getting results, that's because they've done the right thing in the past. But now because they're doing stupid, they're going to get stupid in the future. Right? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Okay.
I was just thinking about when you were saying how Nanda Maharaj and their own Tulsidas, their pure devotees, when they speak about destiny, was speaking how their position is insignificant as it in that regard. And it's very different from. Of course, it's very different from the point that says like destiny is in your hands and everything. So
yeah, and how is that working out for everybody?
Not much. So yeah. Yes, that's why it's like the devotee is like, as you were mentioning, Krishna's grace.
Yeah, but one has to understand, because the point is it's Krishna's energies that are working, and we as an individual can't take part in that overall thing. What we have to understand is those overall energies are very big, very expansive. So they're what's controlling everything. We're thinking, oh, well, I did this. But, you know, I cooked lunch, but who controls fire? Do we control fire? Right? We don't control fire. Where the potency of fire, where does that come from? That's coming from Agni. Where does he get his potency? From Krishna. Right? So that's the whole thing. You know, that vegetables grew, that vegetables have some juice in them, that coming from the moon. Coming from the earth. So all these other energies are at work, but we forget all that and just think what I'm doing is important. Sense, as we said before, is that our concept, the Icha potency, is to fulfill our desire. Therefore, it's all for us, so it's expanding from us. But in actuality, we're not on that level. We're an expansion at the point of the Samvit potency. So that means we're part of the Kriya. We're expanding out of the Kriya aspect of the whole thing. And we're not the main aspect. We're only on the edge. So that means we can assist in what's going on with the Kriya. Right? Does that make sense? And the whole purpose of the Kriya is to please Krishna. Does it make sense? So that's where we're situated. That's what we are. When we accept that, then it's easier to understand we're not the doer. You know? So that's the whole point.
And just that,
Yes. 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 They see like that, and they see, and they also tend to interpret whatever they're doing that they're being materialistic, while others then see that they're not. That's how they do it. So from that seeing the overall of Krishna's totality of his plan and energies and devotees, then they see themselves as insignificant. And then within that insignificant, then they think that they're being self-centered. Right. And so, you know, we keep the self-centered part, but that doesn't mean we're falling in the footsteps because we think we're very special, while they think they're not. So, but it's the aspect that they're being self-centered means they think they're being self-centered, though they're not. And we think we're not being self-centered, though we are. Right? So that's the point. You know? That's ignorance. We think we're great when we're not. We think we're not self-centered when we are.
Question comes when you're applying your maximum endeavors. In this case, like in this session, you can see that Nanda Maharaj, he organized the best festival for Krishna. Everything was very much managed. Mm-hmm. Everything was like arranged. And this is how they are applying their service. But here in this case, they say that this is destiny. And also when Vasudeva was saving Krishna from Kamsa, so this is like, the pure devotees, they have proper sense of discrimination when to say that this is destiny and when to say that I would do anything for Krishna to...
No, but they're doing anything for Krishna, the destiny is the situation. It's just like this. Nanda Baba gave so many cows in charity, had a whole big festival. Right? Vasudev also did the same thing. But, because of the situation, the destiny, Nanda Baba can do it externally with all facility, and Vasudev had to do it within his mind. You understand? So it always goes there. The point is that it's always about Krishna.
Yes.
Because even though he's given 2 million cows in charity, he's not puffed up because it's just for his child. And so therefore, if you're considering the child, how do you be puffed up? You're doing something for them, so then all that's... It brings everything in perspective. So relationship brings things into perspective. It's when we think that we're the controller and enjoyer, that's when it goes out of perspective. So. Nanda Maharaj continued, every man is certainly controlled by destiny, which determines the results of one's future activities. One's fruit of activities, the results of one's, right? Because the situation you're in is going to determine what you get. Right? I go into the kitchen, there's nothing there, only potatoes. Now, by my effort, what am I going to get? Right? Something made with potatoes. Right? So it has an effect. But the point is our independence is what we do within that. Does that make sense? So that's there, but it's still going to be effective. We could say, okay, I'm not dealing with potatoes, and then go out and make a phone call, right? And the guy shows up with, you know, whatever it is, some Chinese or something. But then the point is that it's still affected by the situation, because there's nothing in the kitchen. That's why you ended up with takeout. You understand? Or you cook, you ended up with potatoes. So, depending upon what we're doing in our situation, that's what we can work with. So we can get results based on that. But still, the results are up to the Lord, because there's more to it than just what we see. Right? If it's more straightforward than what we do, we get that result. Or by Krishna's grace, we get... But in any case, it's Krishna's grace. So if everything's going nicely and all that, then that is good. Yeah. Okay. In other words, one has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this is also due to unseen destiny. Destiny is the ultimate controller of everyone. One who knows this is never bewildered. Vasudev said, Nanda Maharaj, now, my dear brother, since you have paid the annual taxes to Kamsa and have also seen me, do not stay in this place for many days. It is better to return to Gokula. since I know that there may be some disturbances there, right? Because he knew about how they were going to try to kill all the children. Nanda Maharaj had already heard about this, but probably doesn't understand the weight of it, so he put everybody in charge to take care. But now that he's heard here, he'll take it even more seriously. Sukadeva Goswami said, after Vasudeva advised Nanda Maharaj in this way, Nanda Maharaj and his associates, the cowherd men, took permission from Vasudeva, yoked their bulls to the bullock carts, and started riding for Gokul. Okay. While Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja, was thinking about Vasudeva's words concerning disturbances in Gokula, he was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, so he's a devotee of Krishna, but they're still devotees of Hari because they want to protect Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that's even the more far, because those in Vaikuntha, they're not worried about the protection of the Lord because they know he is Hari. Yes. Well, then Braj, they're worried about Krishna's protection, and they pray to Hari. So the point is Hari takes care of everything. So if you're a devotee of Hari, you don't have to worry about Hari's position because he takes care of everything anyway. You take shelter of him. And here, the Nanda Baba takes shelter of him also to protect Krishna. You know, so it's just that little bit more, that aspect of sweetness. Right? So majesty stops at that one point, the sweetness goes beyond. Right? Because you don't know.
So Maharaj, and then Maharaj is always speaking about Hari or Krishna. He's speaking, thinking, he's praying to Hari, God.
Yes.
And also pleasing his son, Krishna.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Means everything's being done to please Krishna, and then part of that he's praying to Hari that everything will be safe for his son, and you know, that things go nicely, because it's by the grace of the Lord that your situations are nicely arranged. So he's praying to Hari that those things will all be nice. Right? Is that, And the fun part is that the original, you could say, aspect of Hari means where, you know, that the Vaikuntha aspect, then that's Balaram. And he's taking care of him also. And then praying to Balaram's expansion, you know, to take care of Krishna and Balaram. Yeah, so that's the affection. While Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja, was thinking about Vasudeva's words concerning disturbances in Gokula, he was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, Kamsa sent to the village of Gokula a Rakshasi named Putana, who was wandering here and there killing small babies. Of course, wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, there is the danger of such Rakshasis. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was in Gokula, Putana could accept nothing there but her own death. One day, Putana arrived from outer space in Gokula, the home of Nanda Maharaj, and by displaying her mystic power, she assumed the guise of a very beautiful woman. Taking courage, she immediately entered Krishna's bedroom without anyone's permission. By the grace of Krishna, no one forbade her to enter the house or the room, because this was Krishna's desire. Right? Because otherwise they could have stopped, they could have so many things, asked who she is, they would have just chit-chatted, right? You know, but something. The baby Krishna, who resembled a fire covered by ashes, looked upon Putana and thought that he would have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman. Enchanted by the influence of Yoga Maya and the personality of Godhead, Putana took Krishna upon her lap, and neither Rohini nor Jashoda objected. The demon Putana offered her breast for Krishna to suck, but her breast was smeared with poison. The child Krishna therefore squeezed Putana's breast so severely that in unbearable pain she had to assume her original body and fell to the ground. Right, so she's so absorbed in the pain, she forgets, you know, to be able to maintain this, because you mean it's by concentration you can maintain this different form. And at the same time, as this bigger form would be very powerful. She thinks she can overpower Krishna, but she can't. Then Krishna began playing on her breast, just like a small child. When Krishna was playing, the gopis were pacified and took the child away to their own laps. After this incident, the gopis took precautions because of the attack of the Rakshasi. Mother Jashoda gave the child her breast to suck and then laid him in bed. Meanwhile, Nanda and his associates, the cowherd men, returned from Mathura. And when they saw the great dead body of Putana, they were struck with wonder. Everyone was astonished that Vasudev had foretold this mishap, and they praised Vasudev for his power of foresight. The inhabitants of Braja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces, but because Krishna had sucked her breast, she had been freed from all sins. And therefore, when the cowherd men burned the pieces of her body in a fire, the smoke filled the air with a very pleasing fragrance. Ultimately, although Putana had desired to kill Krishna, she attained the Lord's abode. From this incident, we gain the instruction that if one is attached to Krishna somehow or other, even as an enemy, one ultimately attains success. What then is to be said of devotees who are naturally attached to Krishna in love? Right? Because sometimes it's pointed out how even those who are inimical in that, how they attain such great positions and this and that, one might think, well, then why do I have to do all this? Because then it's pointed out here, what about those who have that favorable mood towards Krishna? Right? So they get even a greater position. Right? Or so much easier. Right? Putana, the road to her fortune wasn't easy. Like that. But for the devotees, then it's very nice. Right? Joyfully performed. When the inhabitants of Braja heard about the killing of Putana and the welfare of the child, they were very much satisfied. Nanda Maharaj took the baby Krishna on his lap and was filled with satisfaction. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 18. Putana infiltrates Gokula and is slain by Krishna. Verses 19 to 30. The elder gopis invoke auspiciousness. Verses 31 to 44. The cowherd men dispose of Putana's spiritualized body. Verses 1 to 18. Putana infiltrates Gokula and is slain by Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered that what Vasudeva had said could not be false or useless. There must have been some danger of disturbances in Gokula. As Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son, Krishna, he was afraid, and he took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. While Nanda Maharaj was returning to Gokula, the same fierce Putana whom Kamsa had previously engaged to kill babies was wandering about in the towns, cities, and villages doing her nefarious duty." Footnote 1. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 2 to 6 to Bhagavad Arkarmichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled "The Perfection of the Mellow Pure Love." The unlimited dimensions of rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book, regarding the apparent unfortunate bewilderment of the Vrajbasis by the mystic powers of Putana, when they were actually favorably bewildered by the Lord's Lila Shakti. And so, because of their affection for Krishna and all that, then, for Krishna for his pastimes, then he invoked his internal potency to cover everybody, the Yoga Maya, so that this pastime could go on. But it's because of their affection, then they can take part in the pastime as Krishna wants. Does that make sense? So, from their natural affection, they do so many things, and when Krishna wants something very specific, then by the influence of Yoga Maya, so it all works out. However it adjusts, since, because we're looking at it, here, what are they doing? The situation they're in, they're just taking part in that situation to please Krishna. Right? So they call that destiny. Right? But it's Yoga Maya. So, and why is Yoga Maya? Because Krishna has something he wants to do. Right? So all his energies are ultimately pleasing him. So the Brajbasis, according to their particular situation, right, and according to the situation they're in, they will use all that for Krishna exclusively. What's the process we're asked to do? According to our particular condition, nature, and the situations we're in, engage everything in Krishna's service. All we're being done is asked to do the same thing they're doing in Braj. And we're taking that, oh, we're not this body, we don't have to do this. Well, if we're not the body and we don't do that, where does that place us? In Brahman. You know? That's if you even know something about Brahman, otherwise it puts you in the void. Right? Does that make sense? And most don't even understand Brahmavad, but Mayavad, there's a little bit of an understanding, so then it's Buddhism. So it's not actually real Krishna consciousness. That aspect can be engaged, of course. Right? But the real point is, if we're not the body, then we simply follow what the particular conditioning is. Whatever it has to be, by destiny. This life, we're tall, short, big, you know, whatever it is. Then we use that. We're intelligent, not, you know, we have certain skills or not. That's what we have. That's what we then, in the situations we're in, use for Krishna. That's then what was being recommended. So the whole Varnashram system is, the side benefit is it controls society and everybody, it works out that everybody can interact and get all the facilities they need to maintain themselves. That's a secondary aspect. The main aspect, the primary aspect of Varnashram is in those situations, according to your nature, applying them to please Krishna. How do we know what pleases Krishna? We don't know. Brajabasis do. It's natural for them. So what they do is what we do. But how do we know about it? Since it doesn't come naturally, we get it from Shastra. The recommendations of the Acharyas. So we're being asked to do exactly the same thing. Not anything different. That's the whole point. Devotional service is the process. Devotional service is the goal. Because by following what they're doing in devotional service, we'll get to that devotional service. And they do that devotional service eternally. So it's the goal. But the difference is we're following it as a practice because we don't have love. They're following it because of their love. In other words, for them it's the natural expression of their love. For us, it's the process which we can get to that natural love. Does this make sense? So it's actually very simple. The whole process, of course, is very big and elaborate. Those are the details how to apply, but the principle, if that's kept in mind, then it works very nicely. Then this is how Krishna likes it, this is what we do. Does that make sense? Because that's Krishna, that's what they do. They take part. Does that make sense?
This is in the Prayojana section, and this interesting this moment how apparent unfavorable bewilderment of the Vajrasi in regards to Krishna. Because sometimes, for example, we are also with everything. We can also pray to become under Lord's Nila Shakti. But if we're not, it means that we're under Paramatma. It means Paramatma's guidance. Means like, and Paramatma is also Krishna's expansion. So in that way, we don't take part in the Leela. We're taking part in their
Leela. It is the Leela that's going on here. We're not taking part in that Leela.
Yeah.
Means Mahavishnu, you know, the Purusha avatars. Then as the super soul of the universe, then the creation is going on a particular way so that we can become Krishna conscious. So we're taking part in that pastime. So whatever situations we're in, we use it in connection with Krishna. Then you have the Sankirtan movement that we take part within the movement to try to do something to please Lord Chaitanya. So according to our ability and what facilities we have, the situations, therefore then we act within the mission. So like that, then we are taking part in the pastimes, we're just not taking part in this aspect here. Does that make sense? But it's still part of the Lord's pastimes. My dear King, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokula while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. At footnote 2. Referring to verse 3, Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 1.2.3. This is also confirmed by the following statement of Sri Brihad Naradiya Purana. No obstacles can stop one who worships Lord Vishnu. Neither kings, nor thieves, nor diseases can trouble him. Pretas, evil hobgoblins, pisachas, similar bad spirits. Pretas, evil hobgoblins, pisachas, similar bad spirits. Kushmandas, special type of evil spirit. Grahas, planetary influences. Balagrahas, those who attack children. Dakinis, evil witches, rakshasas, cannot harm him. English translations taken from Srila Prabhupada's word-for-word translations of verses 27 to 29 of this chapter, right? So that's how He translated those. Right, so then nothing can bother. So if something is seemingly bothering, means the devotional service can't be bothered. The situations may appear to be bothered, but that means then Krishna has some plan for that. Does that make sense? But ultimately we see it always works out nicely. Right, so the gopis and that taking care of Krishna, then they had so much nice interaction. And that, the Nanda Baba, and then, you know, his whole approach, you know, and focusing on Krishna. All these things then made it, you know, it enhanced their devotional service. Enhanced their absorption in Krishna. So it didn't create any problems. So it's... Yeah, the Balagrahas, those who attack children.
Sufficient.
Yeah. Because certain things that, are, you know, within the planets, then also are dealing with children, right? So it means that can't bother.
This argument alone destroys a lot of preaching that's going on for the soldiers.
Means they can't bother you. The point is, you'll be Krishna conscious. Then if Krishna wants it to be there or not, then it'll be adjusted. Point is these are the situations that are there from your previous work. Now, whether they happen or not, that's up to Krishna. But this, that what is there in the chart, that's what would come to you from previous work. Srila Prabhupada comments, Sukadev Goswami spoke this verse to mitigate the anxiety of Maharaj Parikit. Maharaj Parikit was a devotee of Krishna, and therefore, when he understood that Puta was causing disturbances in Gokula, he was somewhat perturbed. Sukadev Goswami therefore assured him that there was no danger in Gokula. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has son. Namashraya kari jatane tumi takaha apana kaje. Everyone is thus advised to seek shelter in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and remain engaged in his own occupational duty. There is no loss in this, and the gain is tremendous. Even from a material point of view, everyone should take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be saved from all kinds of dangers. Right? If they want to be saved from all the material difficulties of this age, then they have to take up the chanting of the holy name, even if it's just for material purposes, because it is the Yuga Dharma. And through Dharma only, you get Artha. So by performing the Dharma for this age, then all the different difficulties of this age will go away. Doesn't mean they'll become a devotee, but it'll all go away. But if they're going to take up the chanting, the devotees are also chanting, so therefore they may hear from the pure devotees, and this way then their chanting will improve, and then they will take up devotional service. Yes. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, once upon a time, Putana Rakshasi, who could move according to her desire and was wandering in outer space, covered herself by mystic power into a very beautiful woman, and thus entered Gokula, the abode of Nanda Maharaj. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, in order that the pastime of killing Putana be performed, by the inspiration of the Leela Shakti of the Lord, Putana entered Gokula as if invited by death to be killed. With this intention, the verse is spoken. One day in the evening, flying from the sky, she entered Gokula. By illusion, she took on the form of a beautiful woman. All were so much enamored by her beauty that she had access to all the houses and towns. Though the Lord's illusory energy has no desire to bewilder the eternal devotees of Braja, in order to execute the pastimes of Krishna, Putana was able to exert her illusions like a magician by the will of the Lord. So, in other words, Yoga Maya then influenced the Brajavasis that Maya, that Putana's illusion she was using would be effective. Right? Because otherwise in Braj, her illusion couldn't be effective because Yoga Maya is in control. But because the Lord desired, therefore, her Maya was allowed to work. Just like in Dwarka, then no one else's Maya can work. But Gatodgacha, because he was a pastime, I always forget who it is, but a pastime, then he came to Dwarka. And so because Krishna liked the plan, Therefore, he allowed that Ghatotkacha's Maya could be used. Mm-hmm. And because it was protected by Krishna's Maya, therefore even Balaram couldn't understand. Though Balaram can tell something's going on, just like the you know, cowherd boys and calves in the Brahma Leela. He can tell something's going on, but he can't quite tell what it is because it's Krishna's Maya, so he doesn't have that access. Mm-hmm. But from him out to every other form of expansion of Vishnu, he knows all of that. Mm-hmm. But Krishna, that he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So, like that, then Putana was allowed, mm-hmm. because then some nice pastime would unfold.
Maharaj, it's the same thing for all demons.
Well, a lot of them, you knew they were a demon and all that, but she was using her Maya that they didn't think she was a demon. So he allowed that. You know, and that, of course, they come in, that's allowed, then Yoga Maya allows. But the point is they're just, no one's under illusion. I mean, a few times, yes, Vatsasura coming as a cat, Palambasura coming as a cowherd boy. Then some of them, they're illusion, but Krishna is allowing that. It would be the same principle. Mm. Because then by their allowing, then the pastime unfolds nicely. You know, it has has more of a nice kind of arrangement.
Krishna putting Balaram Brahma Vimani.
Yes, so, you know, but the point was Brahma was, you know, that he was thinking he was controlling it, but he wasn't. You know, and then all the Brajabasis, they get to interact with Krishna, you know, because Krishna is not their son, but now Krishna is. So then all of them get to interact for that time, and then it goes back, you know. So it's going on the desire of the devotee, just like the youngest gopis, they wanted Krishna as their husband, so they perform the Katyayana Vrata. So then Krishna comes and steals their clothes. So in this way, Then he technically is their husband. Right? So like that, then fulfilling the desires of the Brajbasis, then there's all these nice arrangements. So then his Yoga Maya acts. So that's why she acts to control the whole situation. Then within that, the devotees then perform their activities. Srila Prabhupada adds, Rakshasis learn mystic powers by which they can travel in outer space without machines. In some parts of India, there are still such mystical witches who can sit on a stick and use it to fly from one place to another in a very short time. This art was known to Putana. Right, so writing on broomsticks, we think, oh, it's just that. No, it's a Vedic thing. That's what you get. Most of these things, that a lot of times you go back into the superstitions and all that, it's actually a Vedic thing, like the alchemists, that they can somehow or another make gold out of ordinary metal and all this and that. And it's a Vedic thing. Just they were trying to figure it out, and it didn't work. You have to go according to Shastra. They just mix this and that. They don't know how to purify, because a metal, it has certain things to it. It's alive. So then you have to actually kill it to be able to transform it. You know, it's just like mercury. It's poisonous. That's because it has that aspect of life. Not means there's a jiva in it. It means that particular potency is alive. But if you remove that potency and then some other purifications and then purify it, then mercury as parad, it becomes hard. It's a solid metal. It's very good for health. But when it's not, when it still has that other potency, it's very highly poisonous. So like this, they don't know those things.
It's not a jiva.
Not a jiva.
You said potency.
I'm saying because it's a lie. That's just like you're saying. You have to kill it. Means you have to, that potency has to be removed. Not that you get the mercury there in the thing, and then you come to attack it, and it's making this whole thing, and there's a whole fight.
Because I was thinking, because we were talking before of like immovable objects, stones, and Maya body, so every.
No, but that's just certain things. It's not everything. There may be jivas there, but it's not that it's that they're conscious and they think I am a brick.
Because they're unconscious.
No, but there's ones that they think I'm a rock, or I'm a blade of grass, or you know what I'm saying. So it's a matter of what's there. You know, so we don't have to get too weird and get you know, yeah. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanande.